All right, well, if you have your Bible, go ahead and grab them, and we'll be turning all over the place this morning, so hope your fingers are nice and stretched out, or the words will be on the screen as well. You could cheat and do that way. If you don't have a Bible, there's one underneath your seat, and so that is our gift to you. Take that home with you, please. So if you've been with us, we just finished a two-month journey through the book of Proverbs that we've been, as a faith family, pursuing wisdom. Together, and just because the sermon series ends, we're not assuming that we're all wise people and we don't need to pursue wisdom, but we're saying that we're going to continue to move on and to see what Scripture has to say to us. But we've said all over that series that the point of wisdom is so that we can live in light of who God is and what He said. But we're going to kind of build on that a little bit as we begin a new sermon series that'll span the next 5 weeks throughout the month of November, okay? So as we live every day in wisdom, we need to know how what God says about our finances, about our work, about our relationships, all of those things we've already said. There's a purpose to all of that. There is a purpose to our lives. And the point of having wisdom is so that we can glorify God as we are joining Him in what He's doing in this world. And God is doing something in the world. And like the video just said that we watched, no matter what you do, join the everyday mission of God. And so there's a lot of assumptions in that statement, saying that you have a place and you are going to get up from this room in a little bit and go live your life, whatever that means for you, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, or whether you're retired, or whether you're a student, or any of the occupations that you may hold today. There's a purpose to all of that. Like, there is a purpose. And so over the next 5 weeks, we want to talk about what is this purpose? What is this mission of God's? When we say join the everyday mission of God, what in the world do we mean? Because words like mission can kind of become catchphrases in the church. We say mission a lot. But I don't know that we have clarity around what that is. And we say something like this every week, but that God cares about your Monday through Saturday. I don't know if that's ever really dawned on you, but like it's not like you turn your God switch on and you come to church, right? Like we've been saying that on repeat, but that your everyday life matters. And how can you leverage your life for something so much bigger than you? And what does that look like? What is that? And so we say something like this. Actually, Jeremy, wherever he is this morning, as he was welcoming us, actually said this phrase. And so you probably hear it around here all the time. You see it on all of our logos and our website. It almost sounds like we're kind of this weird, I don't want to say cult, but you know, but it's not what we are. It's an identity statement, and just because it's on repeat, we repeat it a lot for a reason, all right? It's this. We are, at Tri-Cities Baptist Church, a redeemed community on mission together. So that says a lot about who we are desiring to be, what this church longs to happen. Well, we long to happen at this church, that we're a redeemed community, not perfect people, not religious people, not just moral people, but we're redeemed. And we're not just isolated individuals, but we're a community, that we have, we're a family. We're not just living on an island. We're not lone rangers, okay? We belong to one another. And so we're a redeemed community, but notice that, on mission, together. So what does that mean? So as a church, by the way, Tri-Cities has been in existence for 23 years as a church. This campus, we just celebrated 1 year last week. So the very fact that we're in this room, you say, why in the world are we here and not back in Gray? Like, why did we plant or launch this campus, this expression of Tri-Cities Baptist Church? What's the point? Well, the point was the mission. We're here to seek to be a part of this fulfilling of this mission that God's given us. So the very fact that you're in this room, by proxy, is we're here. For that reason, as a church, we're saying we want to be about equipping leaders, making disciples, and multiplying churches. Like, that's what we want to be about. You say, what are we about? What do you guys do? Programs and stuff you offer to Tri-Cities? We do a lot, but at the core of it, we want to glorify God by doing those things. We want to make disciples. That's why we're here. It is the marching orders that our Savior gave us before He left this world. It's to make disciples. So everything we do, from our next-gen ministries to our small group ministries to everything we do is for that goal, is to make disciples. We just planted our first church in Portland, Oregon. Why? Why would we send out one of our best pastors and many of our core families to go across the country. It's for the mission. Why do we, what maybe some of you would leverage your life in an unreached people group or to move overseas like many of our families have done. We pray for many, many more. Why would you do that? It's for this mission that God's called us to make disciples. But as a church, we're doing that. So you're part of that because you're here. But we're trying to define something a little differently with this series, is that not just what we do programmatically and corporately at this church is mission, but your individual life. You, as a part of this church, when we say church, we don't just mean the building with the sign out front. You guys, we're tracking together, right? Church is a people. The word church literally means called out assembly. So you are the church. I am the church. Like individual people united together around Jesus. It's what the church is. So when we say the church is supposed to be on mission, in essence, we're saying you are supposed to be on mission. Now, that's not just your neighbor's job, the person sitting next to you. It's your job. It's your calling. It's the bullseye at the middle of whatever it is that you're doing. It's to carry out this mission of God. And so for the next 5 weeks, we're going to try to lay out for us and provide some clarity. And this, by, just to give you all cards on the table, I mean, it's by no means a fix-all. We don't expect everybody to be living on mission right after this series. It's a process for us as a church. And matter of fact, I'm wrestling through these things, and your elders and your pastors are wrestling through, what does it mean for me and my wife to be on mission? In what ways am I wasting so many moments of my life, and I'm not leveraging, I'm not seeing it in the kingdom perspective. All right, so we're all wrestling through these together. So we're going to have a series to try to answer some of these questions, to provide some framework to when we say these things like we're a redeemed community on mission together, there's a little bit of a common language that we know what that means. So that's where we're going in the month of November. I'm very excited about it. I'm very hopeful for what God might do among us here. As a matter of fact, some uncomfortable things, because I know it's easy to come in and sit and listen and leave, maybe be involved, but we start saying, no, the church is you. It begins to make us, you know, get up and wake up a little bit. And I'm praying that God does that in our church, in our lives as well. So I'm desiring three things out of this series before we jump in to where we're going today. Here's the first thing. I want to see us understand the responsibility and the privilege that we have in fulfilling the Great Commission. So that's why we're naming the series Go Make Disciples. I mean, it's pretty biblical of us, isn't it? Like, there's no snappy title. It's right out of Matthew 28, where Jesus, right before he left, we're going to look at that today, but it says, go and make disciples. That's what he told the church to do. And so, again, we're switching this from a corporate idea to a personal idea, because many of you are in this room because you're attracted to that. At least you somewhat agree to it because you're here and you keep coming back. We talk about it all the time. But what we don't want is for you to think that mission is like a department of our church. You know? And I think that's sometimes growing up in the church is the way we think of it. Like, we have the mission trips, or we do things like the Halloween hoot, and that's what our mission team does. That's what our global outreach or our local outreach teams and our pastors here do. We've got a guy on staff that coordinates that area of our church, and there's a very strategic nature to it. But when we say mission, we mean so much more than that. And so we're trying to switch on its head, not just a corporate pursuit of the Great Commission being fulfilled, but very much an individual fulfillment of this Great Commission. All right. So that's why we show that video we just showed to you that says, I'm a missionary. And one of the main goals I have for this series, if anything else, is for us to be able to at least get that you are a missionary. Missionaries are not just the people who, you know, go through the process with IMB and pack up everything and they move overseas. Although, yes, that is a missionary that crosses cultural boundaries and all of that. So we're saying, we're defining missionary in that way, someone who's on mission to in their culture, to cross cultures. That's you. I mean, I'm going to belabor that point over the next 5 weeks. You are a missionary. And God's primary way, to reach people. You ready for this? Like, what is God's method to reach people? You say, Derek, I want to see people know Jesus. I mean, we won't raise hands, but how many of you really want that? You say, man, I want to see people know the hope that I have. Like, I want people's lives to be changed. I see the city and people don't know Jesus. Like, I want people to know Jesus. And if that's not your heart, man, we're going to talk about that this morning, but I pray that God gives us that kind of heart. But how do we answer that question then? If we want to see people know Jesus, what's the answer? What's God's means? Have you ever thought about it? God's method to reach people is people. Now, we can have services and we can have programs and we can have strategies, but at the end of the day, if people are going to know Jesus, it's going to be because people love them and live winsomely around them and live as if they're citizens of a different kingdom. But ultimately, that's not enough to save people, that we will actually boldly speak the gospel to people and trust that God will save people, that lives will be changed and this city will be different. Like, I'm praying for revival in this city. Like, that's why we're here. That's why we left Gray and we're here. That's why we get together. That's why we have life groups. Ultimately, it's to see lives transformed. And I hope that's the aim of your life. And so this morning, my goal is to just, from all the stuff that we can get busy with, to say, this is the purpose of our lives. God's primary means of reaching people is people. And you see this throughout the book of Acts. I wasn't going to go here, but I have to. It's so cool, all right? You read the book of Acts, which is the early church, right? And they were on mission because Jesus just gave them some marching orders and told them to go out and to basically see the world, know Jesus. 12 guys, 11 guys at the first, all right? But you see the book of Acts, the majority of the work that happens in Acts, the majority of the movement that's going on in that book does not happen within the walls of the church. In the temple. Like, it's not happening there. It's happening outside, in the city, and everywhere that we're going. That's, when we talk about the church and the picture we see of the early church, it's not these kind of spaces as much as it is everyday life out there. And you see, when Paul and Peter are going into these places, that most of the time, the gospel had already made its way there before the professional Christians got there. Before the pastors and the preachers and the missionaries got there, someone had already gotten there with the gospel. Businessmen and students and everyday people. Because that is God's means of reaching people. It's not get them in a room and let Derek or Mike or Paul or Daniel or somebody of our teaching team preach to them. Like, I want my friend to know Jesus. I'm going to take him to church with me. And yes, I mean, if you're here and you don't know Jesus and you're kind of seeking, or maybe somebody brought you, you're so welcome here. And we hope that you get some of your questions answered. But let me just say, that's not the primary method that we have here. Like, I'm preaching to you and we're going to study the Bible, but we really see the church as a gathering of people to come together and then we're sent out on mission. An army of, we say all the time, we are an army, not an audience. That's the way we see the church, and that's the vision that we have here. So that's my first prayer, that we get the responsibility of the fulfilling of the Great Commission is in your lap, our lap together. Second, that we would be captivated and motivated by the beauty of Jesus. Because I know something, even talking about this, already getting uncomfortable, right? Like, oh my gosh, are we going to have these weird, like, evangelism strategies or, like, you know, like, what's going on? Well, we're going to go door to door. And by the way, God can use those means. I'm not knocking that at all, okay? But is that what we're going to do? Like, just start passing out tracts every day? Like, I mean, what does this mean? That we're going to be on mission? We start to get nervous. Or maybe, I know 98%, if not all of us, when we start talking about this morning, guilt. It's like, oh, yeah, man, sharing the gospel. I know I should share the gospel. Like, I know I should, and I don't. Like, I'm terrible at that, and you're making me feel bad. That's the purpose of my life, and I'm not doing it. I don't have purpose, you know? Like, that's kind of the posture that we can have when we talk about these conversations of mission. But the goal is not to heap guilt on you. It's not the goal. It's to say, hey, you should be doing more. Let's go do it. I mean, there's going to be some tones of that, I mean, because Jesus has commanded us, and it's an obedience issue. It is. But more than just guilt, or more than just adding something onto your schedule, like, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm all so busy, so I'm just going to add mission onto my life. No. We're trying to see us to review the way we see all of life. Mission is not just something that you add to your schedule. It's seeing all of life with gospel intentionality. All of life. So hoping to remove some of that stigma around soul winning, you know, and all of that, because it really is a life-changing thing. And so the goal, here is the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is that we would be captivated by Jesus. That's my goal. Is as we talk about things like the gospel, like, I mean, it's more than just equipping. Like, I'm hoping that we see the gospel in a fresh way and that it moves us. You know, Jesus, what you have done for me, what you do for other people, right? Like, I don't want it to stop with me. And you are the greatest treasure of the universe. How many times have you heard that at this church, right? Like, Jesus is everything. He's everything. And he's beautiful. And there's people that don't know him. There's people that are without hope. Scripture says they're dead in their sins. Their eyes are blinded. They cannot see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we're asking God to open up their eyes. And we're saying we'll sell everything. We'll do whatever it takes for those people to know my Jesus. Because he's everything. So that's the goal. I hope you get captivated by Jesus. And lastly, my final prayer is that we would begin to know and understand the gospel deeply and learn how to engage the places that God has given us. Because here's what I think. A lot of you guys are here at this church because we're about the mission of God. And we want to be more about it. But that's why you're here. But here's what I know. You say, okay, I got it. I want to go share my faith. And I'm going to spend tomorrow intentionally. But I think a lot of us just don't know how. Anybody with me on that? You go, man, I just don't know how. Like, where do I start? There's so many people that don't know Jesus. And I don't know where to begin. And so some of us, like if we ask you right now in 3 minutes or less to share the gospel, like could you do it? I mean, and that's not to say shame on you because you can't do it, but like, can you? Do you know the gospel? Do you know, like can you share your story of how God has saved you? Do you know how to do that? Then how do you engage? So even if you know the gospel, then how do you start that conversation with your classmate? Like, how do you change it from football to Jesus? Like, how do you get there without being that Christian? You know, like, I mean, what does it look like for us to transition to gospel conversations? How do you do it? And then some of us say, okay, I kind of know how, but man, it scares the daylights out of me. Anybody with me? So let's raise your hand. Say, I'm just scared to death of evangelism. I mean, anybody would be brave enough to say, that's me. Like, it terrifies me to do that. I'm just fearful. I'm afraid they're going to have questions that I don't know how to answer. And so another goal is that we would actually be equipped. Not perfectly, not to have all the answers, because that's not the goal. We'll never have all the answers. I surely don't have all the answers. So that's why you're coming. Sorry. Surprise. I don't know everything. But like we're going to go together to say, man, let's study this together. Let's pursue this together. Let's try to make sense of what we mean when we say we're going to be on mission. So here's what we've done. So over the next 5 weeks, this Sunday, if I'll ever stop telling you what I want to do out of the sermon series and actually get into the sermon series, we'll talk about prayer in a little bit, as we see the mission of God. But what we've done is, over the next 5 weeks, we have five core practices of evangelism that your elders and pastoral team have said, we've tried to look in Scripture and say, when God talks about mission and personal evangelism, what does he say? Rooted out of the Bible, okay? This is not some program. It's rooted out of this book. And we think we've really very helpful ways to think about it. So just kind of give you a heads up. We won't expound on these because we'll do that every Sunday. Here's the five core practices of evangelism. First, we pray. Talk about that this week. We engage the lost. Jesus was around people. He was a friend of sinners. How do you do that? We share. So living a good life in front of people is not the gospel, right? We must share the gospel. How do you do? What is the gospel? And then finally, we're not just called to see converts. We're called to make disciples. So that fourth one is multiply. See people, be disciple makers is the goal. All right? And then lastly, we give generously. And that's not just with our resources, although it definitely includes that, but it's everything, all of our lives, all of your gifts, all of your time, your talent, your treasures, like the three T's there, alliteration. Time and talent and treasures, we give generously to see this kingdom advance. To see this kingdom advance, all right? That's where we're headed over the month of November, all right? So let's pray very quickly, and then we're going to jump in and see a storyline. What I want us to see today is a sweeping story of that God is on mission and that he's a missionary God, And we get to be a part of that. And the only proper response to seeing what God's called us to is prayer. All right, so let's bow together and let's pray to the Lord. Father, we do thank you that we get to talk about these things, that you have called us to join you in what you're doing in the world. We don't take it lightly. It's a weighty calling. It's a humbling calling. It's bigger than us. And so many of us, we just have apprehension of what that means. There's distractions that keep us from living this life. So Lord, I pray that you tear all these things down, that our excuses fade as we see you, that we'd open up your word and understand what this means. And that, Lord, we would fall to our faces in desperation and get up bold to be your ambassadors in this world. Lord, and I pray that as a result of this series, that lives would be changed. The city would be transformed. The nations would be glad as a result. So now as we continue on, please give us grace. Open up your word to us. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, start off with a quote. Put on your seatbelt, okay? It's about to be drinking from a fire hydrant time, like it is every week. All right, a lot of scripture, but I want us to have some understanding of what we're talking about. So we'll start with a quote by this guy named Steve Timmis, all right? He's a mastermind of some of these things. It's very helpful for what we're talking about this morning. Here's the quote. God has always been about revealing his glory to a group of people and then displaying his glory through those people to the ends of the earth. So there's two things. Well, so you have God's glory that he reveals. So if he doesn't reveal it, we don't know it. All right? But he's shown himself to a group of people. And it's always been a purpose that when those people know God, that as a result that they would go through to the ends of the earth. So glory revealed to is to be glory revealed through. That's the purpose. So if you know the glory of God, or at least if you've tasted the gospel, the goal of your life is to then display that glory to the world around you. He's always been about that. And we're going to look at, just to prove it to you, that I'm not just saying a quote from some guy. I actually talk about it in these pages of Scripture. So let's just jump in. A passage we've read a lot here at this church. Creation's purpose in Genesis 1. 26. You can turn there with me. The words will also be on the screen. Set it up. So the very first mission exists, even in the garden. So let's read this together. Verse 26. So then God said, let us, this is the Trinity there, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. All right, so just pause right there. You say, man, why are we reading the creation story? You said we're going to talk about mission. What I want us to see is that the mission is even here. It's that God created you and he created me as image bearers, meaning we are called to reflect God to the world. That's the purpose, is to know God, to enjoy him, to see his glory and have that experience. We're created as worshipers, all right? To be satisfied in God and God alone. But we weren't satisfied with that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the goal here was, what does this say? It says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And to create culture and to take creation, like we talked about a few weeks ago in our work sermon in the Proverbs series, is to do something with our hands the way God's designed it so that people will see him. There's a mission component even to creation. He's saying, I want to take image bearers, little mirrors that reflect me, and I want you to fill the whole earth. Notice the language of the whole earth. Like, go everywhere and reflect me. That's the purpose of our lives. It's the purpose of creation. But we know how that story progresses. Genesis 3, for the sake of time, we won't read it. But we weren't satisfied with that mission and that purpose and that God. And we wanted to be God. We put ourselves up on the throne. We talk about this all the time. We won't belabor this. But I use this illustration a lot because I think it's very helpful. So here's what sin is. We were created for God and for other people. You were created to be upward and outward. That's why Jesus says the great commandment is to love God with all your being, and to love neighbor as yourself is the second. To love God and to love others. To know the glory of God and to reflect the glory of God to the world. That's the goal. But here's what sin does. It's an old church father, Augustine, said it like this. Sin is the continual building or bending of self back into itself. So if you were created for this, I'm going to look kind of silly, but who cares, right? It's this. This is sin. You're created for this, and this is the result of our sin. We're bending backwards, so now we're just eat up with ourselves. So not only are we not active participants in this mission of God anymore that we're talking about, because we're selfish, we want to live for our own kingdoms, we have all these pursuits. Instead of using creation to glorify God, we bow down to it as our God. We're idol worshipers now. We worship ourselves. But not just are we not active participants, but get this, we are active rebels. Like, we're contributing to the problem, each and every one of us. And I wish I could belabor this point, but I can't, okay? But the point is that we're now all broken. This mission is here. And so humanity spurns. And so what's the wages of sin is death, separation from God. And so Adam and Eve, they no longer could enjoy God. They were dead, separated from Him. And so if you reject the God of life, the only thing left is death. And that is the result of the world. Everything is not as it should be. Everything's broken. Everybody, no matter how good or how moral or how clean on the outside, our hearts are rebels. We've turned away from God. And so that's the result of all of creation. So this mission then that God says here is that I have a purpose for you and you messed it up, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm not going to let you mess it up. And in Genesis 3:9, you see God at work. Notice what it says. After this rebellion, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you?" So for the sake of our purposes, you got to know this about God. God is active all around you. He's doing something. He was doing something in the very beginning. So we messed it up. And by the way, what we deserve is for God never to come looking for us. That's what we deserve. But instead, in grace, God comes and says, "Where are you?" He knows where they are, by the way. But there's a purpose in this. And so God is active here, even in the garden, to pursue fallen humanity. And God is still pursuing fallen humanity today. He's active. He's doing a work in the world. So when we say we're going to be on mission, we're not saying we're taking God to these places. Or that, you know, you need to go and start God's activity in the life of your family and friends. No, we're saying that God's already at work around you. And we're joining Him in this mission. In this mission that He's been doing throughout human history. All right. In our rebellion, so He's pursuing us. He makes a promise in Genesis 3:15. We talk about this all the time, so I won't belabor this point. But He says, even in the midst of this, the smoke is still billowing up from the war we started with God. And God says, "I'm going to send a rescuer. So the way I'm going to pursue you, I can't be a holy God and just kind of sweep your sin under the rug. I'm going to chase you down, and I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to come for you. And I'm going to crush Satan, and I'm going to purchase redemption for you." So, I want you to see the Bible this way. And we're just going to hit just a few verses, not even as many as we wanted to this morning. But do you know that's what the Bible's about? Is this plan of God unfolding? This missionary God. God's a missionary God. He's pursuing and He's sending all throughout the pages of the Old Testament. This is not just a New Testament thing. This is not just didn't begin in Matthew 28 when Jesus said go. Like, this is not just some department of our church. This is the point of the world. All of history is pointing to this end. All right. Just as God sent Adam and Eve, He sent Abraham. Genesis 15, let's read this together. "And you be fruitful and multiply. Increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it." Notice there, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly. I mean, he's giving a specific purpose here. Jump back to Genesis 12. I'm going to read this passage to us. Very specific what God called Abraham to do. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go." Kind of familiar with the Great Commission there, isn't it? "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great." Notice why. So he's displaying his glory to Abraham. See that? "So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here's the point. God blesses Abraham. He shows himself to Abraham and says, I'm going to give you a mission, though. It's not just about you, Abraham. It's about the nations, all the families of the earth. Go. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. Isaiah 49 tells us this about this Israel, God's chosen people that had this mission. It says, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So he said, hey, I'm giving you all of these things, like the law, the sacrificial system, this way by which you can commune with me. But get this, it's not just for you. You be this kind of people, but it's for a purpose. It's for every nation to know my salvation. It's for everyone to be glad in me. That's what God did in Abraham. That's what the people of Israel and the Old Testament, these covenant people, that was the aim of their lives. That was the purpose of human existence. You even see this language in the Psalms, okay? Psalm 33 says this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 86:9, all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says this, O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Notice this, make known his deeds among the peoples. See that? Go and tell them what I've done. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Notice, declare, tell his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Why? For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. He's to be feared above all gods. So you see, by the way, I've got a lot more notes and I'm just skipping for your sanity's sake, okay? Like, it's all over the Old Testament. God says, I made you a people, I showed my glory to you, but the purpose is that you would display my glory to the ends of the earth. You have a mission. You have a mission. Don't use it for yourself. But we know what happened, right? They did. They made it about them. Part of their brokenness, it's part of the fall, it's part of sin. And then in a prophecy of Jesus, man, this is so good. So Genesis 3:15, Jesus is promised, but in Daniel chapter 7, kind of an obscure passage many of us never read, but I want us to read this together. Daniel 7:14, notice this is about Jesus here. And to him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom. Why? So the Messiah is coming, and he has those things, but for what purpose? That, what's the word there? All peoples and all nations and all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus has promised, hey, this one is going to come, the Son of Man, which was Jesus' favorite title of himself, is pointing to this idea that, hey, I'm coming. God himself is coming so that all the nations of the earth will worship him. When they heard that prophecy of the Messiah, man, their ears would have perked up because it's all throughout the Bible. These people knew this was their identity. And Jesus is coming to restore that purpose for them. So insert Jesus, right? He comes onto the scene. There's many ways we can look at the life of Jesus because Jesus was on mission. He is a missionary God who came in the flesh. We'll talk about that more next week. But Luke 19:10 gives us the purpose that Jesus gave for his life. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That was the purpose. He said, why did I come? Why did the Son of Man come? And by the way, that's the title that goes back to Daniel 7 we just read. Why am I here? I'm here for a purpose. I have a mission. It's to seek and to save those who are far from me. So he wasn't just for the chosen people, he was for the Gentiles too, you and me. He came for all people. You see that in the life of Jesus. And so if Jesus was about that, and what he accomplished on the cross was the means by which we go, which we'll talk about more of that in the coming weeks, we talk about the gospel. I want us to see in John 20:21. So you're here. Say, okay, Derek, that's nice. Thanks for the overview of Israel's history and their mission. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. But it doesn't stop with them. So that was the purpose of Israel, the Old Testament. But here's the church today. Here's what it says. John 20:21. From the mouth of Jesus, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Notice this. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus was on a rescue mission, "even so I am sending you." This plan of God unfolding even today with you. He said, "I'm sending you. I'm sending you." Matthew 28, we've read this so much here at this church, but we'll continue to read it. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So he gave the last words of Jesus. He gives the marching orders to the church. This is the purpose of your life. I'm sending you as the Father sent me. Go and do that. Go make disciples is what we're going to uncover this month in this series. But I want to fast forward a little bit. So we live in between the times, right? Jesus has come. He's done all of this for us. Now we've been sent with this gospel to the nations. But here's how it's going to end. I want us to see this. Revelation 5:9. Beautiful passage of scripture. This is the aim of all of it. This is the end of the world, so to speak. This is the purpose that we live our lives for. I love this passage. 5:9. "Worthy are you," talking of Jesus, "to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people," that's that called out assembly, "for God," notice this, "from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." That's the end. It's around the throne, every tribe, every tongue, every language, shouting the worth of King Jesus. Is this mission culminating with that scene? And that scene being played out for all eternity. That scene to be played out for all eternity. We say, John Piper, man, you can't hardly preach a message like this without giving this quote. It's so informative for this. Missions exist because worship doesn't. We live on mission because people are not worshiping God. And the goal in the garden all the way to the city at the end, the kingdom of God, is about people being worshipers, giving glory to God. And he's displayed his glory to you so that you could display his glory around you, so that people would be worshipers of the one true God, that they would be joyous and glad in him. Not just across the street, but to the nations, that's specific, the mission that God has called us to. So can I humbly ask you a question? Is that, we just spent the last however long talking about, is that the reason you're living your life? Is that the purpose to which you get up in the morning? Like, is that the way you make decisions about where to go to school or what job you take? Is that the reason? Because that's what God's doing in the world. And if we're going to be his children, we're going to be love what he loves. We're going to hate what he hates. And we're going to be doing what he is doing in the world. So is that what you're living your life for? Are you leveraging your life for this global glory of God? This is the story of human history. And we're caught up in it. We get the privilege to be in it. And church, let me say this statement. It's a big one, but I think it's right to say this. If we fail at this, we fail at everything. Like if we fail at making disciples, like we've missed the boat. And if you as an individual, you as your family, if you fail at seeing your role in the mission of God, maybe that's moving over there, or maybe that's leveraging it right here in this city. If we fail at this, we fail at everything. We can be busy with a lot of things that are good things, not bad things. We should be doing these things. But this is what God has called us to. All right, two statements and we're done. And all God's people said, praise the Lord. All right. Here's the statement. The Spirit in us is better than the presence of Jesus with us. It's a Pastor J.D. Greer. It's a statement from him from his new book. It's awesome. Because here's what I know. And I'm going to get up because I'm serious. All right. Here's what I know. All this talk about this seeing this plan unfold is very intimidating, isn't it? Say, man, this is like the mission of God, and like this is my life, and I just don't see how those two things go together sometimes. I don't know how I can do this. I don't know where in the world to start. Like, mostly my day is survival. Anybody like, I'm just trying to pass the test that I have tomorrow morning, or I'm trying to make sure my kids don't kill each other. Like, that's what my life's about. And you're talking like, hey, you're wasting your life if you're not making disciples among the nations. Like, what in the world, Derek? It's overwhelming. It is. It's overwhelming to me. And I see my calling, and these pastors here at this church, our calling, Ephesians 4 tells us to equip you to do this work. And for me, it's the calling on my life. And so this is a question that we have to answer. And we've got to figure it out. And we've got to do whatever it takes to be about this. It's just to be obedient. To not is to look at Jesus and say, you gave us the bullseye, but we want to create our own goal. Like, I don't want to live for that. Like, that's really the level we're at this morning. We've seen. This is what God's doing. He's commanded you to do it. Will you be about it? Are you about it? But the goal is not just, well, y'all better just go try harder. That's not what we're saying. It's that statement is, but I hope is true. Because if it's not, we can't do this. But the Spirit in us is better than the presence of Jesus with us. Jesus even said it. He goes, it's better that I go away. Remember that? It's better that I leave you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to dwell you. He's going to change you. He's going to equip you to speak and to be about what I've called you to be about. It's not up to you trying harder. It's not up to you having all the answers. It's not up to you having the resolve to do it. It's us raising the white flag and saying, I can't. And for many of us, if we're honest, like, I don't even want to be honest with you. Like, I see it, Derek, but like, I just don't want to. What's the hope? We're desperate for the Spirit of God to come and do something in us. And I think so many of us, we don't really understand the Spirit of God. We think it's kind of weird. We've seen some of the expressions of that we may or may not be so comfortable with, or the Holy Spirit, that sounds weird, coming out of Halloween. Like, what are you talking about, Derek? You know, but I want us to see Acts 1:8. It's a parallel account for the Great Commission. Before Jesus ascends back into heaven, notice what he says to these people. He tells them to wait. Don't go anywhere. But wait for this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So people that didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he says, you better wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Don't go in your own strength because you can't do this. Wait for the Spirit. So now, 2,000 years removed, we have the Holy Spirit. But I want us to see something here. In this, that if he called them out, they had to be overwhelmed. You think we're overwhelmed? Think about those 11 guys that sit there and watch Jesus float away and says, hey, I need you guys to go into all the world. Most of them had never been out of the Jerusalem city limits, for Pete's sake, okay? And he said, I want you to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel, where they'll kill you, where they won't receive it. I want you to sell everything and go. You imagine the overwhelming feeling that they have in that moment. He says this. So I'm going to give a statement to us. The mission of God is only possible with the Spirit of God. I think we've kind of nailed that down, haven't we? I mean, it's only possible with him. So how do we take advantage of the Spirit in our lives? How do we do it? We pray desperately. We pray desperately. So you see the disciples. Jesus says, I'm going away. Go to the nations. See ya. All right? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Here's what the next time you see the disciples, here's what they're doing. In Acts 1:14, I love it. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. In light of this story, and in light of the grandeur of this mission, the only response is, God, we need you. And it's not just a, God, we thank you for this mission, and we pray for the people that don't know you. Pray for our, no. It's like, God, if you don't come through, like, where's this Spirit power stuff that Jesus talked about? Because we need him now. If we're going to go do this, are you praying with that kind of just desperation? You're praying with that kind of fervency for the people around you. And so the first thing is pray, but here's what we mean. Number one, you pray for the lost. We're praying for people who do not know God. We're asking that God would do something miraculous, that he would open up their eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Christ, that he would soften their hearts to see their need for him, and these people would repent and believe in the gospel. That's not professional work. Like, you and I can't do that. There's not going to be any cool sermon I can preach to make that happen. So we pray desperately. We pray desperately for God to come through and to do a work in us. We pray for the lost. But I want us to read this passage of Scripture. So as we're praying desperately for the people that don't know Jesus, what if the answer to God's prayer will be you? So we're right to say, God, you must save people. It is your work. Save. But sometimes, most of the time, he says, okay, remember back an hour ago, the method that God has to reach people, what is it? People. So what if you're someone's people? What if you are called to go? Maybe we do, rightfully so, call out to God, God save. But then we say, God, give us boldness to share. Give us boldness to live out what you've done. Lord, I've seen your glory. Now give me the grace to display your glory to the ends of the earth. Like, I need your spirit. I need boldness. We see this in Acts chapter 4. So they're facing some opposition in the church. And very briefly, let's read this. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Basically, they say, hey, y'all need to stop talking about Jesus. Okay? You need to stop it. And I love Peter and John's response. The people that day, he says, verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. We've seen the glory of God, and we don't have a choice but to speak it. We have to. We don't have a choice. We cannot but speak it. Old Testament says it's like a wheel within a wheel burning in my heart. Like, it's like a fire down, it's shut into my bones, and I can't hold it in. Like, do you have that kind of fervency in your life? I want that. And it says, so here's what it says. We can't help. This is the mission. We don't have a choice, is basically what they're saying. But notice what they say then, verse 29. And now, Lord, they start praying, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Lord, grant us boldness. We'll continue to speak, but Lord, give us boldness. Help us to get up. Romans 1 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to save. And so we speak it, and we live differently, and we're just ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through you. It's the goal of our lives, but we pause and say, God, make us into these kind of people. Do this work in us. So that's what we're going to do in this next few minutes as the band comes back up. We're just going to pray, and we're going to say, Lord, would you do this? Continue to break my heart for what breaks yours. And so the good place to start, you guys come on up and get ready. The good place to start is, God, I want to want to. You know, I just don't have this vision in my life, and I want it. I'm begging God to do this in our church. He awakens us to this story that's unfolding. You know how awesome it is that we get to do this? We get to join God in what he's doing in the world. It's almost like going to work with Dad, you know? Dad's doing this work, and we get to join him. What more can you leverage your life for? So what's keeping you? Who are those people in your life? So remember back in August, we had the three names of people. I'd invite you to, even this time, pull those back out. Who are your three people? And if you don't know what that is, if you're a guest, I invite you to do it now. We're asking God to give us three names of people who do not know Jesus and to pray desperately for them. People that are in our spheres of influence, we pray for them. And we're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. We're going to share the gospel with them. But first, we're going to pray for these people that they would know Christ. And then secondly, that we pray for boldness, that we would share the gospel with them. So bow with me, and let's pray to the Lord together. So enter into this time of prayer to God.